firm five, and the principles that are courage and integrity. Let's begin with the serenity prayer. Grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I've been in an around program for since the 80s. My first program was Al-Anon. I was living with an alcoholic who was active, and my life was unmanageable. But what happened was I went to Al-Anon, and when I wanted to be the perfect Al-Anon, I wanted to do my fourth step, and the fourth step, I looked at that and I thought, I eat the way he drinks, and I needed to make that go away. Well, easy. But just that in coming to program long enough to get it that it was bigger than just what I ate, I didn't have a concept of what the bigger picture of the steps involved. But I know that I felt all ashamed, see, and less than. And I covered that up by being sometimes arrogant, sometimes intimidating, I was told. Mean, intimidating, imagine that. When I think about steps four and five, someone has, I have them. Four says, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, the spiritual principle being courage. And step five is when we take that, what we found in our fourth step, and admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs, integrity. History with shame, guilt, and low self-esteem, basis of my life and my interactions in the world. When I was growing up, I incorporated a lot of ideas into who I was, who I believed I was, how I was valued, whether I was lovable or not, and in the particular religion that I grew up in, we learned that God was sort of a punishing being that stood up there and kept track of what we did wrong. And I figured I had quite a list by the time I was even five. And then I went to catechism and they showed me the book, the Baltimore Catechism, and the first picture in there was the angel pointing the way out of Eden as Adam and Eve made a mistake. And I thought, that's how it is, that's how it is. You make a mistake and you're out. And it seemed like that at home. So what I did was incorporate a whole bunch of ideas with my undeveloped little brain with no boundaries, and I constructed a world about how I saw myself, what it was like to be with other people. I learned the rules that we don't talk about what goes on in this house. We criticize and condemn other people. And somehow I discovered that food made me feel better. It wasn't just the food and the filling of the food, but the act of eating calmed me down. I turned to food to pep me up. I turned to food to comfort me. I turned to food to handle my fears. I turned to food for everything. Now, I believed in God, but God and food were separate somehow. I didn't recognize that I had replaced God. I started the 12-step process. I saw step four, the inventory process, as somehow exposing what was wrong with me. It showed how bad I was and had been, and it was a way, it looked like another way of immersing myself in the shame and punishment so that I would stop being so bad. That was my limited childlike concept of God and my place in the world. The fifth step went even further. it was exposing myself to another human being who would add to the pain by shaming me and adding further humiliation to the load and probably being critical. I did not want to do the fourth and fifth step. No, I did not. And people talked about it like it was surgery without anesthesia, and that didn't sound tempting to me. What if we instead saw the fourth step as something meant to free us from the old ideas that are in our heads that were guessings of a child about how the world worked and how they fit in it? What if we saw all those old ideas as contributing to our relationship with food, and in fact, hope that unconscious need? With time, I began to see those old ideas as actually part of my disease. Disease was not just I want to eat, and I need to eat, and I have to eat, and I have to eat more. It was also, and you're a terrible person, and you're worthless, lovable, and this and that, and something really wrong with you. I heard that. Something wrong with you. Or my mother's favorite question, what the hell is the matter with you? And I heard that and felt that and assumed that the whole world was going to treat me like that. So that's why I didn't want to do a fourth step. Instead, let's look at the fourth step as an opportunity to get out from under the burdens of those mistaken ideas that we had when we were kids about who we are and how we fit in the world. And instead, this process is a way of lifting that burden from us, erasing the ideas that no longer help us, and replacing them with much more functional ways of being in the world. Something came in and took away the self-hatred and the self-loathing and the self-criticism. And if people could be kind and understanding instead of critical and shaming, what if? Became able over much time, to see this as a process of healing and as a way of sort of taking away those aspects of my disease that lived in my head that told me inaccurate stuff about who I was and how the world was. And the concepts that I had were like little pictures I had snapped in childhood about the world was and who I was, and that was the engine that drove me. It drove me to eat, and it drove me to act in certain ways because inside I was actually terrified. Courage is defined as the ability to do something that frightens you. It gives you strength in the face of pain or grief or fear. It gives you the strength of mind to carry on in spite of pain or difficulty. So courage is associated with this step because we, most all of us, come to it terrified. And instead, with courage, we begin the journey of learning to trust God for power that we need to move forward. The Big Book tells us that we are undergoing a transformational experience by working this program. And I need to do what the Big Book suggests I do, which is to connect with that source of power. Be empowered to not eat. To change my attitude about other people. To trust, perhaps even believe, that God loved me as I was. Thank you. Integrity, that principle associated with step five, is defined as the quality of having strong moral principles. I believe in something strongly of moral uprightness, being whole and undivided. I love that. Because of my life, I felt like I lived in conflict. I had parts of me at war with other parts of me. And when I lost weight, actually, before I came into OA, and I always had this thing in my head that if I ever got to be a normal weight, of course I was not going to eat anymore. Of course I was never going to gain weight. And of course I was going to feel confident and assured and function in the world just if you're thin, you just walk around the world and you're comfy. Well, that was not true for me. I went around actually explaining to everybody that I had just lost 54 pounds. And so, if, you know, in my brain, that meant, and so if I don't act like one. And did not automatically have that courage and that strength and that self-esteem. I was going to have to work for that, too. What the OA 12 and 12 says is our past problems have been controlling our actions in ways we are not aware. That's what the unconscious means, right? We're not aware. It's going on and driving the bus, but we're not aware of it. When we work this fourth and fifth step, it's just a beginning to allow the chains of obsession to drop from us one by one, because we're no longer compelled to push down these thoughts and feelings that our disease feeds us. Instead, we learn to face our problems one by one. They lose their ability to control us because we're no longer steeped in the idea that I must escape knowing. Denial was my way of going through life. I couldn't understand, for example, I couldn't understand, what do you do with the fact that your mother doesn't seem to love you? I didn't know how to resolve that. That was a conflict. And so I had to push it aside. I had to not know it. And I didn't know that there were a bunch of things that I couldn't know. I didn't know. Such as I really hated myself at times, and that I sometimes hurt myself, pushing away people that were there to help. So we face our problems one by one. And the 12 and 12 also says we must change if we are to recover. That means if I stay the same person I was when I walked into the room, I will always have to eat. That person had to eat to get by and to function. And if we just try not to eat and then try to go through the world, we find why we were eating. We find that when I needed strength, I ate. When I ate. When I was happy, I ate. Because you weren't supposed to show your feelings, you know. You know that? Did you learn that too? So we've been in denial about a lot of things. Of course, about how we were eating and the problems it was causing us. I did not associate the problems I had in life with my compulsive eating. I did it backwards. I thought that my if I stopped eating and put the food down, God would automatically remove my problems because I had given up my best friend food for God. And the appreciation was supposed to be that everything worked out the way I wanted. Apparently, I still had some things to learn. Thing and wanting to do steps 4 and 5 are two different things. The program asks us, are you willing? Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to believe that God will guide you through this? Step 3, do you really believe that God has your back? That God wants what is best for you? That this process that you've signed up to do is, in fact, to heal you, not to punish you? Are you willing to give up that old concept of God that you had? Look to God as a healer and a comforter and a friend. Ego is the structure that I built to protect my vulnerable little self. I didn't think I was constructing an ego, but when we look at how we define that, it is that person we present to ourselves and to the world, and it's how we want to see ourselves and how we want people to see us. And then we spend the rest of our lives running around trying to protect that and not let people know that inside we feel less than and afraid and don't know what to do all the time. We put our lives into the care of God. We grow in trust by trusting. Trusting means I take action, and the action I take, trusting God to heal me, is to do the step inventory with someone who can be empathetic and who I can trust, that I have a relationship of trust built with. When I trust God by revealing myself to others, I will give myself the experience of sitting with someone or talking with someone. Sometimes we're present and we get to look into each other's eyes. But what we're going to see and hear is empathy, understanding. I did that too. I felt that way. I still feel that way sometimes. That scares me too. And all of a sudden, we're not so isolated and afraid, because we're not the only people who have felt these things and done these things. The fourth and fifth steps are the opportunities to step out from under that burden that we have carried. Ego, shall we call it, or that false self, as they call it now. But it's what I put up as a shell to protect me. Functional shell. Because it no longer works. If I looked at my life when I came in here, it wasn't working very well for me. Five, with step five, we may have felt timid and afraid, or we may have acted arrogant and belligerent. This behavior that was intended to protect us only increased our sense of isolation. I felt separate and apart from other people, and dare go near them because I would be exposed and vulnerable if they knew me. And what we get to experience by doing this work is not guilt and shame and feelings about ourselves, but an unburdening of those things we carried around as who we need to be, who we quote-unquote should be. And in fact, start with where we are. And we have our sponsors to reflect empathy and compassion and love. And we begin to learn to reflect that on ourselves. See that God loves and accepts us as we are. And if God can do it, who am I to do it differently? Who am I to judge myself? Who am I to condemn myself? But I hear critical thoughts in my head when the old tapes come back, to say that's my disease, because it's all balled up together with the food. All those mistaken ideas are all balled up with the food. And my disease is telling me these things about myself, and it's usually scary stories about how vulnerable I am. This program asks us to trust God that we believe, taking actions, that God has this, that God has us, and that God loves and accepts us as we are. And our job is to relax in that love and to begin to let go of those things inside us that have been burdening and hurting us and misdirecting us all our lives. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi everybody, my name is Jackie A. I'm from Connecticut. My personality will show right through this. I am very, very great in higher power, and I came into program a second time in September of 2021 on Labor Day weekend, and I'm one of those crazy folks that was struck absent at midnight before it came, because I almost struck my then partner in the face, and I was homicidal at the time I came into the program. Didn't really want to kill him, I just wanted to hurt him bad. And I binged on his food that night because he didn't want to eat it, and he was gaslighting me that I just made food for the whole week. And it was our weekend, we were going to get married in a month, and we were going to go hiking that morning. I woke up. They were binged out on food. They said, I'm not going. And I said, well, pretty much in my head. And I said, I'm going to go paddling with my dog. And I that was the last time I exercised bulimic. I paddled for 4 hours in Colebrook. If anybody's in from Connecticut, it looks like mini Alaska up there. And for 4 hours, I went stand-up paddleboarding. And I can tell you that I tried to burn off that food. That day, we came home, and I said, are you coming home? And he said, yes, I'll be there later. And I said, we need to talk. And the night before, we were talking about OA and premarital counseling. And he said to me, I think we both need OA, but we both need our own programs. I said, absolutely. And he said, I'm not ready. And I said, well, I am, and you need to leave. And right a couple hours before that, that was about 5:30 in the afternoon on Monday, Labor Day. And at 3 o'clock, for those of you who know Miss Martha P., she saved my life. I called a number on the Connecticut intergroup Monday night meetings, not knowing it's going to be open on a holiday. And she told me that there was a Monday night Canaan meeting at 7 o'clock on Zoom. So I broke up with my partner at 5:15 that day, and I decided that here's my bedroom, here's the guest bedroom, I'm sleeping in the guest bedroom, and I parked my, I'm sorry, everybody swears, so I'm going to go look. I parked my ass on my guest bedroom bunk bed, and I put the Zoom meeting right in front of me, and I logged into my first meeting, and I needed help. My partner lived with me at the time for 2 more weeks. By the way, we were coworkers. I was a per diem. Absolutely, I'm loud, trust me. I don't even need it, but I'm going to try. So, thank you. So I worked with him. I was a per diem clinician, licensed clinical social worker. And we worked in addiction treatment together, worked full time there. So not only did I see my coworker, I lived with my coworker, and now I just broke up with them, and they're my roommate. So when I came into program, I didn't have any other out because I didn't want to have a domestic. I worked in domestic violence counseling. That was my earlier part of my career. And so I had a lot on the line to lose if I were to relapse and I were to act out again. I came into program bleeding rectally because I was a laxer for so long. He was worried about me dying. I was worried about being an early widow. And I prayed for him almost every day that he finds his way into OA. Because my dog didn't recognize him 3 years later when we did a run for sobriety. She couldn't even recognize her old papa. But I recognized me. And so when I did my earlier 4th step, as a clinician, I'm not going to lie to you, I get to do cognitive behavioral therapy all day and get paid for it. So I was like, give me some Dr. Young. I was so happy about this. I would have like little Dr. Sigworth like carved on my desk if I could. I was just one of those weird balls that I actually couldn't wait to do the 4th. I was like, I constantly inventory my head. I constantly inventory other people's heads. I can't shut that off. And so when my first sponsor, I was scared of her because I was gifted her 2 days into being in program. And I'm named after Charlie's Angel. My mom named all of my sisters and I after Charlie's Angels. She did not like the show. She liked the name. I'm named after Jacqueline Smith. And so my first sponsor was like Charlie. Or like M from James Bond. I barely saw her. I spoke to her on the phone. We were in the same meetings together, but I just told her my life as if it was like a black hole. And so it was a lot of trust. And honest to God, the men in my program that were fellow MNAA too, a fellow AAs, they have rage. Thank you so much. I worked in addiction treatment. I used to work with batterers, survivors, as well as perpetrators. So I understand what rage looks like. I'm also diagnosed bipolar 1. I definitely know what rage feels like. And so I needed people who knew how to deal with anger when everything's down. You can't use your old alibis. You can't use the food. You can't use the alcohol. And you can't use exercise bulimia. And I can't lax away the weight anymore. I have to take my meds. And by the way, I hid from everybody I worked with and my family and providers since I was 10 years old that I had bipolar 1 because that's how good food worked for me. That's how good exercise bulimia at 1 o'clock in the morning worked for me. That's how much eating pounds and pounds and pounds of protein and then starving myself worked for me to inoculate, is that I didn't have to take psychotropic-controlled meds. And so this program absolutely works. My first 4th steps had not only my ex on there, but they had my family. They had my dog. My dog is a rescued pit bull. She's absolutely adorable for those of you who have met her. She's so freaking cute. She's a monster. She's an alligator on my paddleboard, and she's a mountain lion on the trails when we go hiking. And she's cost me almost my house. She has a $100,000 liability insurance policy on her because she decided to bite 2 other dogs. She was in doggy jail. She pulled me into the street and landed me in the emergency room because she ruptured my MCL. She pulled me into a rock when I had a concussion when I was hiking. in New Hampshire. And she's also escaped and laughed, and she bowled my nephew, who used to wear a helmet. She almost bit my nieces in the face when she pulled her tail. I love my monster, and if I wasn't her fourth home, she would not be mine. And so my amends to my dog was getting her dog trained later. Also things that have gone on my fourth step have been my paddleboard. I have mourned, paddleboarding to me is like the most important modes of transportation are my boots, my paddleboard, and my car. My feet, really, my boots, my paddleboard, and my car. So when my paddleboard sunk, when my other paddleboard died, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, this is my escape from the world. I meditate. This is how I turn off the day. This is how I have no other choice but to be present. If you ever have been on a paddleboard, if you think about anything else besides what's in front of you, you will be in the water. You have the wind coming at you. You have the current. You have other people coming at you. You have a dog doing zoomies because she likes to do receiver punt returns on the back. Like, Mom, did you see that? We're going in a direction. And I'm like, yes, we are. So I have not, so mourning my paddleboard was absolutely on my whatchamacallit, my fault. I put on there the estrangement from my family. I was labeled a baby snatcher by my family and estranged from my family for almost a decade. I had to call DCF on my sister who is not well, and that was not forgiven very lightly. And it caused me a lot of pain back in the day, and it caused a lot of rifts with the family, and I stayed away. So there was a lot of fear of family reunification because I just didn't want to be labeled anymore. I didn't want to be labeled as a monster. And I am like a monster, but I didn't want to be, you know, told that I was and not labeled for things that I wasn't doing, but other people weren't accepting. And so, fast forward, my first sponsor told me, you know, maybe about one day you won't have an electric fence up with your parents. Maybe one day you'll leave the door open. And I went from not seeing my mom and Ricky, my stepfather, for over 7 years to being able to go out to dinner with them 3 times the first year, have coffee with my mom. I see my parents 5 times a year. They still have not been over my house, nor really will they. It doesn't feel good. That's a boundary I've set. It doesn't feel good to get kicked out of your family house twice, and I don't, or not ever invited for a holiday when your grandma's, like, your mom's dying, being told to upset other people. And those are things that I learned. And people are like, why don't you talk to them, Jack? And I'm like, well, I'm kind of getting mixed messages. So these are things that I had to put, thank you, on my fourth step. And my fifth step, as you can kind of tell, was just like, I wanted to be spared. I wanted to be seen as not the victim, because I wanted you to think I was strong. But I definitely didn't want you to think that I was the martyr, because then you would give me more stuff to do. And I didn't want you to think that I'm the villain, even though I frighten people. I wanted to be seen as cute, adorable, non-threatening, but you better be worried all at the same time. And, so obviously I had a lot of work to do. I don't mean to insult anybody here, but when I say this, is that for me, the fourth step was a dumpster party. I love dumpster parties. I want to throw all of my fucking shit in a box that's going to get hauled away, and I don't have to see it again. That's how I looked at my fourth step. Please let me throw all of this nasty stuff away. God, you want to haul it away for free? That's fine with me. I don't want it back. And so when my fifth step ever came about and my first Charlie's Angels sponsor wanted to take it, I was like, you want to go dumpster diving? That's crazy. And in college, I'm going to be 40 soon. This is half my lifetime ago. But in college, we loved end of summer because everybody would throw out their grills and their nice stuff in the dumpsters, but they were clean. So we went dumpster diving a lot in college. And so to me, it's not always a nasty job. It's, you know, you don't know what you're going to find in there, and sometimes there's treasure. And I think that that's how my sponsors took it, is I'm definitely going to go dumpster diving with you. I'm not afraid of this. I've been here before. An upperclassman, essentially. And they treated me with so much respect. And when I was done with my fifth step, my first boss went, that's it? That's it? Aren't you scared? She's like, no. I was like, I do not know. I've been very blessed to have sponsors that have had multiple forms of recovery in different 12-step rooms. So they were familiar with what was going on and was able to direct me to outside help. And I was very rigorous. Again, I make treatment plans in my head nonstop. So I looked to other 12-step literature and what came up for them. And I said, well, how can I work this into my step work with OA? What did I eat over? How did I behave to other people? And that's how I work my fourth and fifth step. I equate working the 12 steps to having fleas. I grew up in dog grooming. My mom owns a dog grooming shop. My sister owns a dog grooming mobile van. My grandma owned a dog grooming shop. Everybody in my family was a dog groomer. Over 25 people in my family were dog groomers. And I said, Jack, the same for you. Thank God I stopped at scrubbing doggy butts. Never good at shaving. But to me, the disease is like fleas. And I think my partner said it best the other day. He's like, do you have chiggers? Because I was like scratching. And I would say that, honest to God, I think the disease is more like chiggers than it is like fleas. Because you can't always see them to pick them off. And so this is how I do the steps. I do God, I have chiggers. Like triggers, which. And I didn't make them. In fact, there are a lot more than them of me. And they suck. So that's how I identify as step one, is I have to accept that I have chiggers because I didn't ask for this. Nobody I've ever met raises their hand when they're first brought into this world and goes, pick me, I want to be an addict, I want to be crazy and be an addict. Nobody I have ever met has said that yet. So number two, I did not make chiggers. I did not make this disease. But God, I'm pretty sure if you're all powerful, you did. So you know what? Take backsies are fine with me. I'm done. You're bigger. I don't want it. Step three is I will do anything. I will line myself up for the tub. I think of myself as the dogs can't wait to get into the bath. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready. I will grab the soap, whatever you want. Stop itching, please. I don't want to have these food thoughts. I don't want to have thoughts up. I don't want to have thoughts that 2 ounces of a starch are too much, and that's going to make me like just atrocious and nasty, and I don't want to feel bloated. I don't want to feel constipated for 2 days. I don't want to have the runs. I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night my partner, because what if I'm going to have a gas bubble? By the way, I farted the other day and literally blew myself off the bed. Like, I was so terrified. I was like, did he wake up? Like, so, like, to me, these are the fears that I used to have. And now I'm just like, all right, whatever, I'm a person. And so, it's me. Step five is on God, more or less, like, you see, what you see is what you get. Ha ha ha. Thank you, sponsor, for helping me. I don't want that dumpster back in my front yard. I don't want it. I don't want it. I consider my 10 steps as sweeping every day and taking out the trash and flushing the toilet and putting on deodorant after I wash my armpits. That's how I consider my step 10. I need to do step 10 so I don't have so much in my step 4s. I'm definitely not afraid to whip out a step four form at all because it's helped me. The last sponsors I've had, two sponsors ago, she helped take me through the steps a new way that I had never been through before. And I found it incredibly valuable. And there was actually, I think, one of the people that has come up with it is in this room. Another one is, I'm pretty sure, is a clinical social worker too, so it dug a little deeper for me. And the way that they did the fourth step, or at least with my dyslexia, the way that I interpreted I was supposed to do the fourth step, was that there was one more column that I had never seen before. And this column's instructions said, you cannot go to the next row or the next column until you have no more anger and no more fear. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And so when it came to almost losing my job, when it came to really accepting money matters, when it came to accepting my body, when it came to accepting my limitations in life or where I was too big, where I was too bad, where I was too bold, really too bad in a lot of ways, I had to literally pray like a fear prayer or resentment prayer or ask me for the next sex ideals prayer. And when I was in complete neutrality, then I would know what God wanted me to be. And that's how I learned how to do that step five. And guess what? There was still a whole page to go. So then I went down to the next row. And I was like, oh, this is a nasty one. And then I had to pray. Some of them were quick. Some of it was 2 days of praying. Some of it was 2 weeks of praying. And then it was neutral. And I got God's answer. This is how you take care of this one. So it made my ninth step a lot easier because I could really, really see in the eighth step who I had hurt and who I didn't owe an amends to. It was literally just accept it, love them, love yourself, and go. And that really, really helped. So for those of you who have ever struggled with the fourth and fifth, that would be my only recommended advice, would to be to really stop and pray before you think you know what you're supposed to do for the fifth step. And with that, I want to end. Thank you for letting me share my story. All right, I think we're going to end. Now I'm going to shut up about me, though. So now we are going to open for speaker shares. Each of you will have approximately 3 minutes, please. And our lovely timer, Miss Kathy C., she's going to give you a one-minute warning and then a none. It actually says out of time. But so one and none. And our workshop today ends at 11:30. So I'm going to ask that the last speaker shows up at about, like, let's say 11:23. So it ends at like 11:27-ish. We can do the closing prayer and fellowship real fast. Deal? Okay. By the way, if you are coming up to the mic, you are being recorded. If you don't want your name said, don't say it or use a fictitious name. Okay?
So when you come up to the mic, do it so that everyone can hear.
Morning. Yeah, still morning. Morning, everybody. My name is Toby. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, my higher power, who directed me to come to this workshop. Yeah, I've been around programs for a while. I've done a lot of four steps. I've done them in many different ways. When I came back from my relapse 4 years ago, 7 months to slog through it. But before I want to say that, I want to just share my step three that prepared me. I came back from the relapse, and the message was just surrender and go at these steps like you've never seen them before, because I've relapsed, I've been in program. And I came in August 31st, 2020, and put the food down, and got to my third step on October 15th, 2020. I was never one to remember dates, but I was told to remember if I ever forgot that I took the third step, I could say 10, 15, 20. I do that. And I took the third step for the first time in my many decades in program. I said, okay, God, all right, I'm on the top of a cliff. I don't have a parachute. I'm going to jump. And I'm either going to go splat or, and I jumped. And my life has never been the same since. That prepared me, because that evening when I took that third step, I had gone through my life with the trust issue big time. Can I trust you? Can I trust you? Can you catch me? I'm too much. I'm too heavy. Can I trust you? Are you my mother? Kind of thing. Can I trust you? Can I trust you? And my higher power said, Toby, 1 minute, thank you. Trust me. And I went, oh, okay, I'll put all my trust in you. Oh, wow, human beings are just human beings. No one has to catch me. They're just other human beings, and I was never afraid of you all after that. So for that 7 month time, I did that, and I was still kind of like, what is it here? And then I took a 4-hour, 4-step workshop one weekend, and there it was, my top four things. Critical, judgmental, unforgiving, unwilling to let go of the past. Self-critical, self-judgmental, self-unforgiving, unwilling to let go of my past. Unbelievable, shared that. 6 and 7, I couldn't believe how they worked, and I've come to love myself in a way that I never have. And I love the 4-step. I'm not afraid of it. I love hearing people's 4-steps. Grateful to be here. Thank you.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I'm Elizabeth. I'm a grateful food addict and so happy to be here today.
Yes.
Thanks. Okay. Jackie and Barbara, you touched me so deeply, because can relate so deeply to a childhood where nobody ever really knew. I had an alcoholic father, so we never knew if it was going to be a great day or if he was going to be passed out in the sidewalk. When my sister came home from a date, and he was passed out in the sidewalk. And so today she tells me we had a very happy childhood. And I said, remember Daddy passed out on the sidewalk when you go on a date? That only happened once. And for me, I've had to look at my relationships with my parents because my father was an alcoholic. I became a surrogate parent with my stepmother. And I missed what a childhood really was. And I got the message that I could do anything. At 10, I was taking care of 3 other kids. So today, my thing is, when I would get in a car, my mother used to, my stepmother put me in the front seat and my father and the other 3 kids in the back. So my mission with my 4th step, my 5th, is to just get out of the front seat. And it's not easy. And even now, I'm riding with people and I run and jump in the back seat and they say, well, why don't you get in the front? And I'm there. I like the back seat, no responsibility. I'm 81. I mean, it's a long way out. And the part that I'm working on now that is such a help is what Jackie and Barbara were both talking about, is that to just stop with the anger and pray to God to help me, to heal me of the anger, to get to a position of neutrality in my relationships with other people and in my relationship with myself and in my relationship with food. And I heard somebody at a meeting say, a craving is not a command. And then somebody else said, the urge to speak is not a command. You know, ask God to stay on your tongue. And, you know, I am bossy and I am a teacher. And, you know, I've always chosen professions where I was a lifeguard. You know, tell me about it. And a nurse. And today I'm just trying to have reciprocal energy exchange with my people in my life. Reciprocal energy exchange. And I'm so grateful to just be in this place of joy. I'm joyful. I'm happy. I'm free. Oh, no.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. My name is Amy B., and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Hi. I am living in a recovered state for today, one day at a time. I have done a bunch of 4 steps. There are lots of different ways you can hear or be taken through the 4 steps, lots of ways, and my feeling on that is if it's working for you, you're doing it right. 4th step, I know it says in our book that we must be willing to go to any length. Personally, for me, as an addict, going to any length has never been my problem. I go to all sorts of crazy lengths. It's about going to any depth. And that's what the 4th step brings me, the depth. And the 5th step, there's a lot of stuff in there. I am confronting that's down there in the deep dark. That's been scaring me. That's been holding me back. That's been causing me grief and pain. 5 says admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Admitted. Admit means to tell the truth, sometimes reluctantly. But it also means to allow in. When we are admitting, like a ticket that says admit once, we are allowing in. I am allowing in my heart to see that darkness. Another human being, so I'm not alone in the dark, in the depth. And my higher power, our higher power. And beautiful to have that acceptance, thank you, through this process. And it gives the peace and the need for what comes next. 6 and 7 were the transformation happens, and 8 and 9 where we take responsibility and clean up and learn to live this way. I am so grateful to our speakers, to everyone doing service here today, everyone doing service out in other spaces, including the service of being here, because we are a community and we need each other. Thank you for letting me do this.
I am Cindy, compulsive eater, and food addict. A little louder, okay. I've been in program a long time, 43 years, and I'm still growing on a daily basis. I found great, during doing my fourth steps, the last one was very profound because it was a big book step study, and I was able to do all the reasons that things were going on and what my part was in it. And I never thought that, you know, I just didn't take responsibility for my part. So I had many, many expectations of myself and many expectations of people in my family. And that was really unfair. It was unfair to my family because they were doing the best they could. They had their own sets of addictions. And I always felt less than because they were also very well-educated and powerful positions and all that stuff. So what I found in the fifth step is not only that I could own all my character defects and to really work to give them over, but also that it was okay just to be myself, which meant to be kind of normal and regular and maybe not have the aspirations that I thought I should have. And the irony was, I was working with a sponsor when I was giving my fifth step, and she said, you know, you jump around a lot. Is there a chance that you might have attention deficit? And I said, yeah, I've always jumped around. So that's why I hate cooking, because I jump from one thing to the other and it never works out. Because I hate food. You know, food is the enemy. So anyways, that was so amazing to feel like I purged everything and then something else was found, but I have, thank you, I've had ability to help that, the medication, non-narcotic that works, and that I can, it sets myself up to have a simple life with surrender, acceptance, and then gratitude, and that's what it's about for me. And I just need to say, for me, the food was an indicator, but it's much more than that. This program is so much about our entire self, and so I'm grateful to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone who's participated in this, and for all of you who are here. Remember, the big book says that life is not a theory. We have to live it. And living it means doing it. This is not a program that everybody who needs it will be here. It's only the people who do it that will have the recovery. I'd like to close the meeting with the OA promise. You can say it along with me if you know it. My hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.